Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's show is part of our classics collection. Some programs, as you know, bring you new insights and hope, especially from people of high esteem. Here's one. I'm joined with my co-hosts, Leslie Silva and Carlos Cambry, and today we feature part one of a two-part special with Roy Sukuma. Enjoy. Have you ever wondered how something so negative can be turned into something positive? Ever looked at someone else and felt a tinge of envy because they seem to have overcome such difficulties and have grown into great success stories? Our guest today can tell us a thing or two about trials, some of which you will not have even known about him. But this is a beautiful story. So much so, so beautiful, that we're going to have him with us for another show, which will be aired tomorrow as part two. His name is Roy Sukuma, a household name in the islands. He's brought his ukulele with him too. And you know, we want to let you understand and know that this program is set up and broadcast because we believe that God has given us a very unique and special privilege of leading people closer to Jesus Christ. My co-hosts and I, we can testify. We've done it over and over again of the difference that Jesus Christ has made in our lives. Not only in the good times, but in the tough times, tough moments. And we believe that you're listening today because God loves you and He has a special plan for your life too. Whatever you're involved with, whatever you're going through, there's someone here that's listening. And we're going to say something. Something you're going to hear from our guests is going to build you up, encourage you, inspire you. Roy Sukuma, he's recognized as Hawaii's foremost ukulele teacher and proponent of the ukulele. Innovative, inspirational, warm, funny, and kind are all words used to describe Roy. In over 30 years of teaching the ukulele, he has been all of these things and more in his role as teacher, producer, promoter, and inspiration to thousands of students in the island community that benefits from his talents. In the 1960s, as America's youth latched onto the larger, louder, more swaggering guitar, the little instrument from Hawaii was relegated to the attic. Roy knew the instrument's true worth. And so for over the past 30 years, with his wife Kathy and their staff of instructors and supporters, his mission has been to spread the joy of the ukulele, teaching students and promoting the annual ukulele festival, the largest ukulele festival of its kind in the world. But there's more to Roy Sukuma. What has made him the man he is today? What kind of challenges did he face growing up? How did he overcome some of his setbacks? How does he see God's hand at work in his life, throughout his life, even in times of frustration, maybe even anger? After hearing him, you'll understand a lot better how God can make something positive out of something negative. Roy, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's a blessing to be here. So thank you very much for having me today. Thank you.
Roy, you're a local boy. Tell us, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Makiki, and that's right in the heart of Honolulu. And, you know, this, I was born in 1947. And, you know, growing up in that area, there was always a lot of kids. And that was probably one good thing, is that there were always a lot of kids. But, you know, my life, even if there was a lot of kids around me, was always a struggle. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't easy for me to get through all the things that I had to go through.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your, you grew up in Makiki. What was family life like, Roy?
Well, actually, there was hardly any family life. And, you know, it took me years to understand, but my mother, when I was born, was already mentally ill. And in those days, I remember when I was very young, my father told me, your mother is crazy, so don't listen to her. Mm. And today they would call that paranoid schizophrenia. She's what she had. And she's constantly talking to herself, but it's not making sense. So even as a little child, I couldn't understand this. And it actually formed a lot of things in me, which I was actually twisting things around. Mm. And I was very sensitive as a child, because I guess not having a mother to reassure you or to kind of give you comfort or to just to hold you or to hug you, you felt isolated. And my father was always out drinking, and I didn't blame him, because the few times that I'd see them together, he'd always look sad because mm-hmm. there's no communication. And so it was really difficult for me. I mean, it must have been because I started cutting out of school from kindergarten. So
really?
I had a lot of hurt in me, a lot of pain. Mm. You know, to make matters worse, I was born with a congenital defect. You know, I was born with a smaller right ear. And, you know, kids can be very mean when they talk about it or tease you. And not having a mother to say, you know, you're okay. Mm. It's okay. So you start feeling like you don't belong. You feel like, why am I here? You know, why am I here on earth? And I can remember as a young child walking and looking up at the sky, and I can remember saying, I hate you, God. I hate you. And because I had so much pain in me, I didn't know how to handle it. So that's why I cut out of school. And I realized that I cut out of school is because I couldn't relate to the peers. I couldn't relate to the kids. You know?
What would you do? Like,
I would just hide in the garage. I don't know how. I would hide in my dad's garage until school is finished, and then walk out like I went to school. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a couple of years. And finally, when they knew I was hiding in the garage, I would walk in the river canal. There was a canal that went all the way up to Makiki Pumping Station. And it went all the way down to where Pauwai is, mm-hmm. where Kalakaua Avenue is. Mm-hmm. And I used to stay in there. And, you know, the thing is, I used to influence some of the other kids to join me, you know, just so that I have company. And yet, you don't know why you're doing this thing. But all I realized now, I was escaping, trying to escape from all the struggles and the pain that was inside of me.
A real survival, like your survival mechanism kicked in at a very early age to sort of attempt to gain some sanity in the midst of what you couldn't even describe as, you know, something that was extremely awkward.
It was very difficult, but it got worse, because I had an older brother who was 8 years older than me, but we never got along. I mean, he always seemed different to me. And when I was about 8 years old, he was 16, I think, 16 or 17, he had a mental breakdown. And he went to the mental hospital. And so now I had two in the family. And can you imagine, I'm a young boy sitting at the table.
How old were you?
I was 8 or 9 years old. Okay. And trying to do my homework when I was in school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then you'd have your brother across from you talking and laughing. And then my mother behind me, walking behind me, talking to herself. And what I did is I developed this ability to shut my mind out. To just, I'm there, but I'm not. My mind is somewhere else. And I survived like that for years by just going away somewhere where I didn't have to be in this real world, because the real world was very sad to me to, you know, because I couldn't relate. Why is it my family like this? And you know, those days, you don't talk about it.
Right.
No. It's shame.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can remember other kids' parents say, hey, I see your mother walking down the street talking to herself. What is she talking about? And you I don't know. Yeah, but then you just feel a little intimidated.
I mean, even for them to ask the question,
yes.
You
yeah.
know, it seems a little insensitive in
yes.
our context today.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but it just kind of goes to show.
And kids are like that. You know, they don't mean to be cruel, but they mm-hmm. can be cruel in just their forthrightness and asking that. But, you know, Roy, it's, you know, the family's the bedrock.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're that young, you're mm-hmm. talking about kindergarten,
yeah.
and not having that, I cannot imagine how that must be for such a young child. But, you know, you said that you close out. But what other types of emotions were you feeling then, like
well,
anger?
Well, I felt like a freak. I felt like a loser. But see, there were other things that happened that made it worse. For instance, after my brother was in a mental hospital, they would release him because he's on medication.
Mm.
But the thing is, you can see his personality changing because he wasn't taking the medications.
Mm.
And one day, one of the few days when my mother made lunch, because again, she was mentally ill, so she rarely made anything,
mm-hmm.
My brother said, "This is it." And he grabbed the kitchen knife and he came after me. And, you know, I really felt that he was going to kill me right there. And luckily, he has to squeeze between the table and the icebox to reach me. And I was able to run out of the house because in those days, you just leave your door open.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ran out and he started tearing up the house. I remember the police coming. I remember the ambulance coming and taking him away in a straitjacket. But the part that was worse for me is that after a couple weeks, they'd release him back to home.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So when he's in that house, I would shake mm-hmm. because I'm so afraid to close my eyes and go to sleep because I think once I close my eyes, he's going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I would just stay out at night. I would stay out till like 2 o'clock in the morning until I knew everybody was sleeping, and especially he was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Now I could go into the house and go to sleep. But again, my world was so, you know, disoriented because my mother wakes me up at 3:30 to have breakfast
mm-hmm.
because she's, you know, and you just kind of get used to it, I guess. Okay, I get up at 3:30, half asleep, you know, closing your eyes, eating, then go back to sleep, wake up at 7 o'clock and go to school, and I hated school. So I was rarely in school.
And then by the time you get up and you go into school, you're hungry.
That's what happened.
Right?
So you know what
you're
happened?
Tired.
You hit it right on the button because I go to school, and at 9 o'clock, I'm sitting there, and my stomach is... And you know that growling sound?
Mm.
Again, I'm super sensitive.
Yeah, that gurgle.
So to me, that's an embarrassment. Something's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would cut out. I just walk out of the school because, again, it was a sign that, hey, you know, I was just super sensitive to anything around me. If you said something to me, if you did something to me, it's like, there I go again. Something's wrong with me.
But that's that, I mean, you know, to give you the benefit of the doubt, when your world, you were born into a world that was completely shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And you could never get balance
mm-hmm.
in that world. So, of course, it made you frail to everything else that happened around you.
Yes.
Because you always felt like something was wrong with me.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes in very strategic times in our lives, the Lord will bring someone into our lives to give us hope.
Mm-hmm.
And it's His gift of hope to us. In a time when we feel like we've got it pretty bad. And then you hear someone else share from their heart and their real life story. And you realize, whoa. There's more to what is really going on around me than what I'm just experiencing. Other people have endured so much more and so many more excruciating things. But that's not all with Roy Sukuma. And one of the beautiful things, Roy, is that you're willing to share. And there is the grace of God's healing
mm-hmm.
as you share the right out of your heart, straight from the gut, Roy. right from the gut. We're going to be back with more from Roy Sukuma. And I want you to keep your heart open, because we believe, we know, that God is working in a very unique way in your heart, because He loves you right where you are, just as you are. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Roy Sukuma.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Oh, for the world to be blessed with people like our special guest today on this special rebroadcast program, which is part of the Classics Collection of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. To find out more about this show, perhaps you're hearing it only at this particular time, but you're wondering as you listen to it, how can I hear the rest of it? You can get it all at thegoodlifehawaii.org to find out more about our show and other resources, including my new book, Winner's Edge, a collection of some of the quotes that I've gathered throughout the years. You know, the scripture says, he who walks with wise men shall be wise. And I've tried my best over the years to learn from people who have lived through the ages, lives that have impacted our world in a positive way. And I've brought this collection together in my new book, Winner's Edge. It's available right during this holiday season, right in time. And it's because of people like Michael Beasley of Kaiani that we can bring this broadcast, a rebroadcast, a special feature, a part one with Roy Sukuma. Here's more.
You know, Roy, before we went to break, you was telling us about your brother trying to kill you. It's not fun having someone try to kill you, huh?
Oh,
yeah, no. I lived that life for a while too, so I understand that. But now, how did that affect? Do you have other siblings?
I have a sister, 3 years older than me.
Mm.
Yeah.
So how did that affect your relationship with both your brother and your sister?
Well, once my brother tried to kill me, even if he came home many times from the mental hospital on medication, after that there was absolutely no communication between us. Like, it didn't exist already. If he was home, I would just ignore him, because for one reason, I didn't want to say anything to get him mad at me. As for my sister, I was lucky to have a great sister. Because she was 3 years older than me, she had her own group of friends, and she was more outgoing, and I think at peace within herself. So she was always on the go. So it left me at home a lot. And that's why the only way to survive was to go out on my own a lot.
Right.
You know, to be alone.
You know, there's something interesting about this, you know, your creative genius too. You know, obviously, you grew up in a very unusual circumstances. And you spent a lot of time alone.
Yes,
so
I did.
As a musician, mm-hmm. And as a, is this in terms of your, how did it affect your thoughts? I mean, your dreams, your creativity.
As alone, you mean when I was lonely? One of the most vivid things I can remember as a young boy is that when I used to go to the other kids' houses and I would see the parents or grandparents, I was just so amazed. And I actually couldn't wait till I hit 60 years old. That was my goal as a child.
60 years old.
I wanted to be 60, because when I saw the grandparents, mm-hmm. I thought, oh, this is the good life. Mm-hmm. This is where everything becomes okay. You know, so I would actually, that was my goal, is okay, I'm going to get to 60 and I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But it was a long way off. So so I still had a lot of struggles facing me, you know, because mm-hmm. elementary school, it was hard for me because I couldn't relate to the kids. And as I mentioned earlier, I was so sensitive to things. And you know, we used to walk to Alamona Beach, which is from Liholiho Street all the way down there. We should walk down Pi'ikoi. Mm. And Pi'ikoi was the main street at that time. And the older kids, twice as old as us, would walk, and we'd join them. The thing is, they were very mean kids. I think all three or four of them all ended up in Ko'olau and Oahu Prison. Mm. But they were mean to the point where my friend and I, who were 7, 8 years old, on the main street, they would take off our clothes, our pants and our shorts.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then they laugh at us. And, you know, it's humiliating when you're in public.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you, for years I struggled. I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror and look at my body, because it brought back that emotion of those days when they would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just compounding my hurt.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so it just... And you know, it just got worse and worse, and I thought many times that I should just die. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be better off. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. You know what's amazing is we hear so much about abuse today, but in your days, you were literally abused in various forms of fashion,
mm-hmm.
and you know it was never really talked about. As a matter of fact, most people thought it was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
And that's rather sad, but you know, I'm always amazed that every week to hear the stories and to see the people that the stories come from and the work that God has done in their lives, mm-hmm. up until this point.
You know, you're talking about education. We're still in elementary school.
Right? we haven't gotten any further yet.
I mean, playing hooky,
yeah.
Cutting out as in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one thing, but how did your education continue to develop? Middle school, high school, what happened?
Yeah, first of all, in elementary school, even if I cut out of school a lot and I was absent, I still got my report cards. I don't know why. They're still there. like 35 to 40 days absent a school year. And but what got me through elementary school is I had a photographic memory.
Mm. Oh.
So I was really good in math and multiplication, division, arithmetic. At memorizing, spelling was easy for me because I just memorized the words. So I got through elementary school because of my memory. Mm-hmm. You know, that helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. And when I went to intermediate school, by then I was already smoking. I had started, my first cigarette was 6 years old.
Wow.
By the third grade, I was walking to and from school with a cigarette in my mouth.
Oh.
So by sixth grade, I started drinking. So I remember going to school in the eighth grade drunk.
Wow.
And the teacher, you know, smelled the alcohol, sent me. And then, you get suspended.
Uh-huh.
Suspended from school. But what happened is in my ninth grade year, which was still intermediate school, I was kicked out of school. And I can't remember what I did, but I was kicked out. I remember it was February. So I missed February, March, April, May, June. And so what happened is that that September, you automatically think you're going to repeat the ninth grade. So mm-hmm. my father took me back to intermediate school to register. But they had promoted me. They had so they said, no, you're not coming back. You're going to high school.
They're going to push you out to the wilderness.
they sent me to high school. And I'll never forget what happened in high school. The principal called me into the office, and he told me, Roy, one of us has to go, and it's not me. And that was it.
That was at the start?
That was when he kicked me out of school, and so I was kicked out of school. I think I was 14 or 14 and a half years old when I was kicked out of school.
That's from I think that's from your alma mater.
No, exactly. I was going to say Stevenson.
And Roosevelt.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is the story is incredible. You know, you survived. You continued on. What was going on inside, Roy? What were you thinking? And
you know, it was really difficult because every time something good happened, like for instance, this guy used to come around. He was older than me. I was like 13. He was like 16, and he really took a liking to me,
mm-hmm.
and I really liked this guy, and. He gave me a mayonnaise bottle filled with, I think it was called Red Devils and Yellow Jackets, which was pills. And he says, hold it for him. And naturally I did because I liked him so much. He never came to pick it up because 2 days later, his best friend shot him in the head.
Wow.
And so again, somebody that I finally thought I could cling to passed away.
Wow.
But what made it worse is I had a best friend. That he and I, he got kicked out of school too. Every morning he'd be over my porch. We had a porch at a house. And he'd be waiting for me 7 o'clock in the morning. Roy, come outside. Well, one morning the mother calls me early in the morning and she says, he's not coming. And I ask, how come? And then she tells me he had a mental breakdown.
Wow.
And they had to take him to Kaneohe Mental Hospital where my brother was. So it was really, I mean, I cried a lot because I was losing everybody mm-hmm. to mental illness.
Wow.
You know, and even our neighbor when I was in intermediate school, he hung himself in the closet. So, you know, when you see this kind of things and you deal with this hurt, you take chances in life, but you also make bad choices in life. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I'm grateful all these years is even if I made bad choices, I never, never hurt somebody.
Mm.
Of course, I wasn't very big, so I'd probably get licked if I fought someone. But I was never out to hurt people, but
you know,
I just made...
When you're hurt a lot, mm-hmm. when you're hurt a lot, you know, the saying now goes, right? Hurting people hurt people.
Other people, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yes.
So, and I think the hurt comes from when you're hurt, mm-hmm. you feel the hurt, the humiliation, the pain, you're ashamed. And the hurt turns into anger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the anger turns into resentment.
Yes.
And then it could lead to rage.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So in what way did you express some of these feelings? How did you let it out?
I actually used to go walk around with my two friends. And we used to go park to park to look for kids playing football.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never play football with people my age. I would always look for kids like 3 or 4 years older than me. And then I would always play defense. And just by hitting people, you know, tackling them or just running full speed into them. I mean, I don't care if I get hurt. I just want to tackle them. That really got a lot out of me. It really, I don't realize, I probably didn't realize it till years later, but it helped to get rid of some of that, that rage that was in me.
Actually, that's a very positive outlet. You know, when you think about most people acting out, they do it in ways that are less positive. That was actually quite positive in a sense that that's part of the sport, you know, and the fact that you chose older kids, not younger kids. It's amazing how you feel God was really there. I mean, I
look back on my life now, and when I did find the Lord, and I can see now where He was guiding me even back then. Even if I was struggling and going through pain, now I can see the silver lining where He was there with me. But when you were that age, you don't see it.
You don't know.
And you know, it would have been good if there was someone there that could have taught me or could have guided me. And my father was a great man. It's just that he couldn't cope with my mother, so he went out drinking every night. And here's the thing that till this day has helped me too, is that I was so happy for him going out and drinking because he was happy.
Right.
If he's at home, he was so sad, so it hurt me. So to see him happy made me happy.
I think one of the gripping things, whenever I look at the Bible, the gripping thing I find in the Bible is that you look at it, you read it, and it is like, whoa, man. I mean, they're talking about stuff that people go through today.
Right.
It's not a candy-coated book that talks about life only in its most ideal and pristine sense.
Correct.
I mean, it's talking about the guts, the gore, the ugly side of life, the pain, the real pilau stuff that people think and people do, and the beauty of redemption, how God can take a life and redeem it. And you've been living a life under God's grace. Lord, and even as you talk about these things, God was still there. God was at work. God was molding you, shaping you. You know, sometimes He shapes us through the pain, through the cracks, the shards of our past. And God was doing it in you. And maybe today you're feeling a little cracked, that there are some shards around you. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with more from Roy Sukuma.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waihua dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinenin Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Perhaps sometimes you feel like you're facing unprecedented circumstances and you are overwhelmed. Well, if you are, you are in for a real treat, because our guest today lived and lives a life that has come out of that, and that's why he brings so much hope. Roy Sukuma is featured today in this rebroadcast as part of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show's Classics Collection. I encourage you to visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to receive more information about our ministry, hear the program in its entirety. And also, I have a new book out for this holiday season. It's entitled Winner's Edge. It's a collection of quotes that I've brought together over the years that I think will really encourage you. They're set up by titles and subjects like action and inspiration and different types of success, things like that, that you can grab hold of. Little nuggets, lessons, insights on life that could make a real difference from you, from people who have made a difference in the lives of others throughout society in the years past, and many of whom are still alive today. Here's another thing. My book, Paradise Calls, is also now available in EPUB form on Amazon Kindle, and you can access that as well. TheGoodLifeHawaii.org. Well, here's more with our featured guest. I'm joined with my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva, and our featured guest, Roy Sukuma. You know, Roy, as you were sharing with us, you know, I'm thinking about Mother's Day. This is Mother's Day weekend. And I want to ask in a little while if you play a special song that dedicated to our mothers. But, you know, as you were talking about your mom and her mental illness and you growing up in that environment, it's hard for a lot of people to relate with that, the uncertainties, mm-hmm. just the awkwardness, mm-hmm. To say the least. But to someone right now who, first of all, is suffering from a mental illness today, what would you say to someone suffering from that?
I would tell that person that, you know, there is always hope. There is always hope. And that, you know, if they're suffering and no one knows about it, it is to take that first step to share it with someone that they feel very comfortable with, like a loving person, to just to help them to get to that first stage of seeking help. Because, you know, I can tell you later on about how I sought a psychologist, how I felt it was so important to me. Mm-hmm. And to those out there that have family members with mental illness, I would say, you know, to give them a big hug and say, I love you. And to constantly say that, because I've seen now how people can respond to a hug and those words. Mm-hmm. And hopefully later on I can share a story with you of a young boy that came out of misery through the hugs. And I got this email from a mother from Japan, and hopefully I can share it later on.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, the your mother, how did things develop, you know, with her? Did she ever go on medication? Did that ever help as the years went on?
What happened is that as I became a young adult and old enough where I realized from talking to people that I could commit my mother to a hospital because she was never on medication. And I thought, wow, this would be a good thing to do because then, you know, we could bring some balance in our home life and hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, try to make things better for my father, who seemed to always be struggling because, you know, my mother just couldn't function properly. Mm-hmm. But when I approached my father and my sister, they did not want to help me with this because it was too sensitive. You know, how do you take your mother and put her in an institution? Mm-hmm. But what I did is I was able to get a power of attorney for her, and I had the ambulance and the police come over to take her away. And that was a really hard thing for me to do because even, you know, she's still my mother.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And to see her strapped in a gurney, strapped, and they're taking her out and she's screaming and I'm there looking at her and she's telling me, oh, she said, I hate you. I will never talk to you again. It's still really, really hurtful to feel that. Mm-hmm. And they took her away. And, you know, what had happened is, as I talk about it, I get the thoughts, and my sister tells me, they took her to Queens Medical Psychiatric Ward, and they started giving her medication, and she started to turn around. Mm-hmm. You know, we could have simple conversations with her. You know, she wasn't talking, like, not making any sense. She would say, hi, you know, how are you, and things like that. Mm-hmm. I have to share this story because even if my mother was suffering so much, somehow there's that still that love for her son. We don't see it. I don't see it, but it's there. Mm-hmm. I used to bring a couple of people home. I had a couple of girlfriends in my younger life. And as soon as they stepped forward in my house, my mother would yell, get out! Even my friends, the guys, could not walk in the house to use the bathroom. Mm. Get out! You know, she would scream at them. Mm. And she'd make so much noise that everybody was afraid to step foot in my house. Mm. But when I met a girl that I fell in love with, and I told her that I wanted to marry her, and I said, but when you meet my mother, this is what's going to happen. She says, I'm prepared. She was, I think, 20 years old. So I take her... I take her into the house. My mother looks at her, and she comes and sits down and says, hi. I was shocked. You know, where did this come from? And it must be the mother's love. Maybe God was giving her peace to meet this woman because this is the woman that I married.
Mm-hmm. Kathy.
That's Kathy. Wow. And I was shocked. I told Kathy I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
You know, she yelled at every single person that came in that house, even relatives, when relatives would come to visit her, get out. I don't want you here, you know?
Mm-hmm. But for Kathy,
she welcomed. She welcomed.
Come in.
She, even cooked dinner for her one night.
Wow.
You know?
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Roy, you know, just talking about our mothers is always a special thing. Like you said, you know, we only have, you know, one woman gave birth to us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's always that little sparkle, the twinkle, and that even with all that goes on, there's always that special love that a mother has for her child.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you would bless us with your gift, maybe a song for our mothers on this Mother's Day weekend.
Okay, this is one of my favorite songs. How's that? Mm-hmm.
song in its popular yes. days. Yes.
Well, you know, I'd like to say that the name of that song was Misty, and it's one of my favorite songs. I just love that song. I always used to play it, and it used to always bring me a feeling of some comfort, you know, when I was struggling. So it remained a very special song to me. So to all you mothers out there, you know, happy Mother's Day, and we love all the mothers in the world.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Roy for this particular program. And you might be wondering, what about the ukulele? What about his career in music and the influence that he's had? Well, that's for our show that will be aired tomorrow. And what about his relationship with the Lord? We're going to talk a little bit about that, just a tinge, but you're going to hear the story in tomorrow's broadcast as well. But stay with us. We're not finished yet. We're going to be back with Roy Sakuma, and you will continue to experience God's blessing.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Absolutely. I love that when someone gives a word of hope, it just brings a smile to your face. And when you smile, it brings about such a lightheartedness, a lifting of a burden, even for those that are around. You become a vessel, a blessing for others as well. Today's show is a special rebroadcast presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show as part of our Classics Collection. Classics Collections that bring hope. Providing this connection with stories of people, our featured guests. Like today, Roy Sakuma in this rebroadcast. You might even be asking as you listen, how did Roy come to know the Lord? Well, you're going to hear about it today. And to find out more about how you can have a relationship with Christ, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. I remind you, a new book out, my new book, Winner's Edge. It's going to be available to you, for you, a collection of some notable quotes that I've collected over the years that have really been helpful. Sometimes the right word at the right time can make all the difference and really give you that boost that you need. I'm joined with my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva. Here's more with Roy Sakuma.
Roy, it's just been an incredible journey sitting here talking to you and listening to all that you've gone through. And just before the break, we talked a little bit about the special person bringing girls home and that one special person that you felt would be a keeper for you and bringing her home to meet Mom. And that would be Kathy.
Yes.
That would be Kathy, who's your wife today. And wanted just to find a little bit about Kathy. How did you meet? How did she come into your life?
You know, we actually met on a blind date. And, blind, you know, she was coughing. She had a cold. And I ended up talking more to the girl that was trying to fix us up. And so after that blind date where we met with another girl, that was for lunch, I decided, oh, I'm going to ask her to go out with me. You know, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks later. So I called her on the phone, and the Harlem Globetrotters were in town, the basketball team. Mm-hmm. And I asked her out for Friday night, and she says, you know, she's sorry, but she already had a date. So I asked her for Saturday night, and she says, sorry, you know, she had another date. But you see, because I had so much rejection in my life, it didn't stop me from, hey, maybe she's telling me the truth. And the Harlem Globetrotters play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Uh-huh. So I persisted and said, well, how about Sunday night? And she said yes. Now, had I, you know, felt like, okay, she doesn't like me and just hang up then, I wouldn't be with that girl of my dreams.
Okay, so guys listening out there, you have to remember that.
Yeah, there's always, you know, you have to look at the positive. And somehow I looked at that part. And so, you know, we got together, we started dating. And then, you know, like I knew this was love. I had never known what the word love means because my parents didn't even hold hands or even just come close to one another. So I just had no idea what love was. Mm-hmm. But when we started dating, I cared for her so much. I didn't even want to hold her hand, you know, because I wanted to respect her so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I finally got to hold her hand by taking her to the Ponoho Carnival. Because you know how crowded it is. Now have to hold hands.
Yes, you don't get lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was funny. Years later, she told me, you know, I was ready to think something was wrong with you. You know? But anyway, what happened is that our love, I loved her so much that I was willing to let go of her. And when I say that, is I mean that when we were engaged to get married, she didn't know what was in my closet. Mm-hmm. And I decided to let her know from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot, everything in me that's not functional, that's dysfunctional. And I didn't hold back. I mean, everything I shared with you folks today, I let her know about not even being able to look at myself in the mirror. And I told her everything, how all these hurtful things had caused these weird emotions and how I was afraid, how I shook in bed and all these things. And it took several dates to tell her and reveal everything. And she just listened. Mm-hmm. And you know what? She was 21 years old or barely 22. After listening to everything that I had to say, you know, I was giving her every opportunity to walk away, like, hey, get a life, you know. Mm-hmm. But she told me these words. She says, I never saw it as your weaknesses. I see it as your strengths. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize 2 years later, but that was such a beautiful thing she said to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and we got married, and I was able to let go over the years everything that was a blockage in my life.
Wow. Mm.
And I think she had a lot to do with it because she was my rock of Gibraltar. Mm-hmm. I had someone that had total faith in me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's amazing because prior to that, you never really opened up and talked about the depth of the things that you had gone through and the feelings that you had. And it's not usual for people to feel comfortable enough to do that, you know, because you'd be so, I know if I thought about being so afraid of sharing that and what someone might think.
Yeah, that's, you know, amazing. I had gone to a psychiatrist for one session and I stopped because I could tell, like, you know, I just could tell that we weren't getting across to one another. And then I went to a psychologist for just a little while to kind of understand. But really, the depth of everything that I said was to her. And it was amazing how she was so comforting, mm-hmm. not once looking at me with a puzzling look.
Yes.
Not, you know. So you feel very comfortable in that end. Mm-hmm. And it's just this love that has grown between us, and it's gotten stronger. And it's given me the ability or the openness now to love people I don't even know.
Wow.
To reach out to people mm-hmm. and just love them. You know, to love children. Mm-hmm. You know,
I want to find out about how you came into a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. And I know we're going to save that for our next show, for you to just tell us in depth of your journey, the searching, mm-hmm. and how you heard God, how you heard Jesus calling you. And, you know, Roy, when you share what you share, the love that Kathy showed you is a taste of the unconditional
yes.
love of God.
Yes.
And there is healing
yes.
with that kind of love. And, you know, sometimes God will bring people like her as our spouse into our life because God is not finished with us. Mm-hmm. He's certainly doing things in them too, but like in your case, he brought Kathy because he said, oh, my boy, Roy, look all what he's going through, all the preparations, all preparation, because I'm molding him. But I have to mold him through deep, deep wounds and pains. It doesn't make sense. He can't make sense of it. Others won't make sense of it. But I'm going to use this broken-hearted man, boy, to be, in the name of Jesus, a healer. A healer in the midst of the brokenness. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the marvels. But the Lord used Kathy.
Yeah, yes. And I realized that because when she told me those words and, you know, she loved me even through all that. Mm-hmm. By loving me, you know, it allows you to give back too. But it works both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is something that I'd like to share with our next talk about mm-hmm. how this works, you know.
It's like Jesus' yeah. love for us too.
Yeah.
You know, it's unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
Despite everything.
Despite, yeah.
All the dirty
despite
clothes and everything we bring, he loves us anyway. And that's a beautiful example
mm-hmm.
of Christ's love for us.
But, you know, it's kind of what you had to do, though. Although Jesus loved us just the way we are, he wants us to come to him and be
yes.
naked and unashamed
yes.
and just lay it at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him about our dirty laundry, mm-hmm. which he already knows.
Mm-hmm.
But then that just makes us whole.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's something, he, like you said, he already knows it. But somehow when we open up
yes.
and we share it,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the spiritual world,
yes.
We would call it strongholds,
mm-hmm.
and those are strongholds that are broken
right.
in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for more about Roy Sakuma and Roy Sakuma Studios, go to roysakuma.net. roysakuma.net. This has been a special rebroadcast of a previously recorded show featuring Roy Sakuma. For more information and to hear it in its entirety, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. James 1:4 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Roy Sakuma. Until next time, along with my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Just leave it to me. I'll lead you, Lord.
They will meet at 6 p.m. on Friday, November 11th, and have free services on Saturday, November 12th at 3:30, 5 o'clock, and 6:45. Come and enjoy the spirit-filled praise and worship and a powerful message by Pastor Mike Lewin as he begins a series called Unlimited, The Power of Prayer. New Hope Leeward will also give special recognition to our veterans and their families, and there will be a full program for toddlers through high school students with free cotton candy, a bounce house, and $1 dinners. Again, there will be no Sunday services at New Hope Leeward on Sunday, November 13th. So come join New Hope Leeward, located in the Waikalu Shopping Center on Barrington Highway, 6 p.m. Friday, November 11th, or 3:30, 5 o'clock, or 6:45 on Saturday, November 12th. For more information, call 678-3778 or visit newhopeleeward.org.
Come to Wet n Wild Hawaii's biggest and best Veterans Day event, saluting the men and women of the Armed Forces on Friday, November 11th. Free admission to all active duty and retired military. Enjoy games, live entertainment, prize giveaways, including a trip for two to Las Vegas. Plus, tickets to the American Country Awards, courtesy of Vacations Hawaii and KHON2. Enjoy Veterans Day celebration all weekend long with a $19.99 admission with your military ID. For tickets and information, log on to wetandwildhawaii.com.
Z Pizza, Hawaii's favorite way to eat healthy, fresh, made-to-order pizza. Now they've added a few new tasty items to the menu, the chicken parmesan and the roasted veggie piatta. It's Northern Italian flatbread filled with savory and sweet, fresh, organic ingredients. Come try the new chicken parmesan or grilled veggie piatta at either one of Z Pizza's locations, Ward Center